Well, this is the Barrio. Today we're here with A. Stallings. Wears a lot of different hats, so we'll get to go over a lot of those.
Many a hat.
But I guess first starting, what was your first like exposure to hardcore punk or just the underground?
First exposure. Okay, so I had this friend growing up that I had actually been friends with since I was born. Mm-hmm. Like my family, whereas like his parents and my parents were friends, and somewhere along the way, he started, I guess through his family was very musical, so they all played instruments. They had this room with like a ton of guitars and like basses and like pianos and things like that in their house, just to kind of give some background. And so he was learning to play music from a really young age. He got into like Nirvana somewhere in there, and then through that discovered like punk. Yeah. I at the time was into, it's like middle school time period, I'm into metal, like some radio metal, mainly stuff like Metallica. Mm. And like big name thrash stuff, but not necessarily like, I'm not like I don't like, like if a Korn music video comes on TV, I'm like, this is okay, but it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I want to make a punk band. Mm-hmm. And we were like 14, and I was like, I think punk sucks. And I was like, I don't want to do that. My dad had bought me a bass, for my birthday or something, and I was like, well, I want to be in a band with my friend. I always want to be in a band. I'm 14. I want to be in a band. So I joined this punk band with him, and he took me to like my first, like I guess my first show when I was like 15. It was at Nancy Reagan here in Richmond, which would turn into Bagels R, which would turn into Strange Matter. And it was, oh, yo, you talked about this on a podcast with Lee. Agent Orange headlined.
Yes.
And I was like, and I knew them. The only reason I went is because I was like, I know that song from Tony Hawk.
Oh, like Bloodstains.
I knew Bloodstains. I'll go see that band. Direct Control opened, and a band called Are You Fucking Serious was played after them. Then it was Agent Orange. Hated Direct Control. I was like, this is too, I was into, at this time I had gotten into punk. I was into like 77 style though. And I was like, this is too fast. Like, I can't understand anything. Which is funny because I would go on to like worship bands that Brandon Farrell was in later. Yeah. Like, but at the time I was like not into it. I think we even had to like leave before Agent Orange played, so I didn't get to see them. But that was my first exposure. It was like this homie of mine. That was my first show.
Okay, that makes sense.
2005.
So going on to that, maybe not like specifically Agent Orange, but on the way, I guess you found like straight edge hardcore more specifically.
So, I've never drank. I've never done drugs. Like never smoked or anything. Just because I was kind of like a sheltered. I was like a sheltered kid. My mom, like, I was a kid that when like Dare showed up to school and were like, drugs are bad, don't do them, I was like, I'm gonna listen to them. They know what they're talking about. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. So I never was cool enough to have a friend to be like, hey man, you want to go like smoke behind the church or something? Yeah. Like, so I just was never got into it. And then eventually, like, I guess because I was kind of like such like, I felt so outcast from like other kids, and like the kids in my school that were like cool and stuff were like into partying and everything, and I was like I don't want to be anything like them. So as opposed to somewhere there, it switched up from being like a passive thing to being an active thing. Mm-hmm. This is before I even knew what straight edge was.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I met some punk kids in town, and like one of them would ask me, he was like yo, do you drink, like, did you drugs like and stuff? And I'd be like, no. He's like, are you straight edge? And I'd be like, no, I'm not. Because also, like, at the time here, kids that were into straight edge also and me also didn't get along. Mm-hmm. But then eventually one day, I think I was like 16, and this punk friend of mine just kept asking me, he's like, yo man, like, you're straight edge. And yeah, I was just like, eventually I was like, at that point I like liked Minor Threat, and I think I might have liked Youth of the Day, and I was like, yeah, dude, sure. And then so somewhere in there though, I like started really identifying with it. It became even more active where I was like, oh no, this is, I'm like really about this. So yeah, so sorry, 16, just my punk friends.
Yeah. Do you think, like with that, do you think you were more like turned off by the idea of like drugs and alcohol directly, or more like the people doing them?
I think, well, it was multiple things. I think the people doing them that I was encountering, I didn't identify with, and they didn't like me. So I didn't really like see any connection there. And then also just kind of like, the idea of not being in control. I am very into control in my life in general. Like, took a fault. And I think even as a young man, I was like, I want to be in control of everything that happens to me. And then it even turned into, like, in my adult life where I was like, which carried over, I was like, everything I want to experience, I want to experience as it is.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be present and aware and in what I deem through my five senses to be reality every day, and I don't want anything to either heighten or lower them. I just want to, you know,
like, just that it is.
I just want to like live at, like live in a natural world.
So kind of like fast forwarding from like being 16, when would you say like you felt like you were doing something like more like necessarily like in hardcore? Because now like you're in bands and you
I'm not. Okay, so that's a good question, because I was definitely booking shows because nobody would book my band at the time. But when I started feeling like I'm like, okay, I'm like booking hardcore shows and I'm booking punk shows for people in the hardcore scene, I want to say I was probably 18 or 19. I booked a show at a bar that you could pretty much walk into and be like, I'm booking a show right now.
They'd be like, cool.
Whatever. Like, they didn't care. So it was on Broad Street here, kind of like across the street from like Aladdin's.
I know. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like in that area. It was. The band of note on it was Lion of Judah, was the headliner. This band Redemption, that was a short-lived thing here, played. I think they were kind of strife-ish, kind of in sound. This band Surroundings played, and they would end up... members of that... I'm trying to think of... I think that the singer, this guy Gavin, was in... that band Standoff, and he's in this band Guilt Parade now, if they're still playing. DC guy. I still have the flyer, and not even do I just still have the flyer. So how I used to make flyers, because I wasn't very computer savvy, is I would cut things out and tape it on to paper. I still have the piece of paper where I cut
the original collage.
Yeah, where I like scanned it. So I don't remember who else played. That was like the first time that I like booked something and I was like, oh, like hardcore kids I've seen before at this show.
Like it feels like an actual hardcore show.
It's not just my friends that are here. It's like random people, you know. So I would say probably right about then.
What year do you think that was?
That was 2008 or 2009. Probably 2008. Then.
So, Breakaway just had their last show February.
Whatever. God, it feels such a long time ago, but it was really just this year.
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
It was February.
Yeah. Do you like kind of? Can you go into like the area of just what Breakaway was? Okay.
It's a long portion of my life. About a third of my life. But Breakaway didn't really pick up steam until 2015. There was 4 years where we were like a band that people like really considered, I feel like. So in 2010, I was in a straight edge band called CCP, stood for Community Corrections Program. because I wanted it to be like SSD or DYS because I like was really into the Boston stuff. Yeah. So like Department of Youth Services, SSD, so like three letter name. Mm-hmm. And we broke up because Dewey, who was playing guitar in CCP, his other band got more popular. It's a band called Deadbeat, and he was like, "I'm gonna do that," and we never really recovered from him kind of moving over. So I was like, "Well, I want to make a new band." I was really into the band Mindset at the time, and I was like, "I want to make like a youth crew band," because no one was doing that at the time. 2009, like I think the first step was breaking up or broke up. Mindset was doing the Mindset thing, and that was it. They would be like the one band that would be doing that during that time period. Like Half Heart was not they weren't considered in the same lane. Like they were doing something kind of different. I think I think in retrospect, like aesthetically and vibe wise, it was probably similar, but it wasn't. It wasn't what I was looking at records and seeing like X'd up hands and like hoodies and like Nikes and stuff, and I was like, that I want to do that. So I had been dating this girl that honestly had like substance abuse problems, and she'd broken up with me, and I was like bummed out about it. So and it's like for a lot of reasons, but I felt bad for her, and I felt bad about people that were kind of in these kind of situations and stuff. And was pretty like just like feeling kind of I was very anti-drug, anti-alcohol, like in Mindset. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna make this band. And so I wrote a demo in my room, my mom's house, a summer when I was in college. And then I recorded it that summer, and we played our first show that September of 2010. And then in the first year, we had 11 different members. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people quit or got kicked out. And then we kind of settled on a lineup. So the first couple set, I can probably compartmentalize it by records. First couple 7 inches, like first one was by a local label called Mind Rot. The homie that runs Mind Rot just moved back to Richmond, actually. He was in Boston. But, so we did that. Our record release show was Edge Day in Atlanta in 2011. It was like a DTN Foundation show. It was cool. Oh, Mindset played that too. And then we had a record on Jared Carmen's label. Jared from Trapped Under Ice and Down to Nothing.
Yeah.
It was called Solidon. And he did a record for us, so we had that. And all the while, just like wanted to play Judge influenced hardcore. Yeah. I thought Judge is so fucking sick. Like wanted to play stuff that sounded kind of like Brotherhood. I don't think we ever really captured that, but and I'm just hanging out with my friends. I'm I was kind of surrounded by straight edge people at the time. I'm very proud of it. I wanted Breakaway to be very Richmond, and wanted it to be very straight edge, because these are things I care about. Still care about. But we're doing that, and then we got what would become the Breakaway lineup. Well, in 2014, I made that band to be like Mindset and be on React Records, and React agreed to do our LP, and I was like, fuck, like this is why I made this band. Yeah. This is so sick to me. And we wrote a record that was like, was the record Face Aggression. And I really wanted to do, I started getting into like Right Brigade. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I want to like incorporate that sound in here. And so we started incorporating that, and just kind of like, I was pulling from other stuff, like Rival Mob was real big at the time. Yeah. Actually, one of the songs on that LP was a song that I tried to write like Rival Mob when I was in my old band CCP. I forgot about that. One of those songs is the music from a band I was in when I was a teenager, and just changed the lyrics. It's funny talking about it now. Pulling from weird influences. We were hanging out with Rude Awakening a lot, this band, and I had modeled one of the songs after them, and just wanted to play hardcore music.
Yeah.
Not heavy hardcore, not hardcore punk, just hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz there was so much genre splitting going on.
It kind of does split, so
definitely does. More, yeah. It definitely does. And so just want to do that. Then we do the thing, made a bunch of friends, ended up doing a second record on React. I started getting really into Count Me Out then, and wanted to incorporate that a little bit more into the sound. If I could go back and turn the knob up on doing that more so than we did, I would love to. But at the time, I think we were just still figuring it out. And I think also too, at that point, it's like, all right, well, like, we want to keep going. We want people to connect with our music and message and everything like that. I guess we got to write another record. And albeit I love Crossfire Heart, in retrospect, that one was like a little rushed. And I think people fucked with the first LP more. But then that came out in 2017. Somewhere in 18, we went on a weekend tour or something, and the shows weren't so hot. And I was like, oh no, that might have been... Damn, maybe that wasn't 18. No, that wasn't 18. That was the end of 17. The record came out, and we did a tour, and it was good. And then we did a tour a few months later, and it was not good. And I remember being like, dang, like, maybe we should look at maybe not doing this eventually. We went on another Europe tour in 18, because we'd done a couple of those, and... somewhere there I was like, we've hit the top for this. And that's something that hardcore bands, either it sucks when the sentiment somebody has about a band is, man, I can't wait for that band to break up. I'm not surprised they're still playing. Like, even though we've been a band forever, especially in hardcore terms, I wanted to be the band where people were like, oh, I wish I got to see them. Or what you got to see him for. So at that point, there was a point in there where I was like, yo, it's time to call it. And announced that we were breaking up in October of 18, and announced the last show in December. And then a couple months later, we played our last show at the Warehouse here.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Thank you. It was a good time.
Yeah, that was fun. So jumping right now, you're doing vocals for a band, Mutually Assured Destruction.
Yes.
Where, can you kind of fill in that gap? Because it's definitely a little bit different than a lot of
So Breakaway, sometime in 18, I knew, even if we hadn't talked about it, that Breakaway was eventually going to break up. So I started this band called Neuromancer. I wanted to do, before we even start recording, we were talking about this, I wanted to play Japanese hardcore that also incorporated aspects of Integrity, because Integrity is one of my favorite bands, and I love Japanese hardcore. And Tragedy. I love Tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of my homies to do this, and we wrote a demo, and it was cool. But he was spread too thin. Everybody in the band was kind of only kind of into it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely some theatrics I wanted to involve with it. And the dudes I was in the band with, bless their hearts, they all kick ass, but they're meat and potatoes hardcore people. They weren't trying to do I'm not saying I was trying to do costumes and stuff, but I definitely wanted to have a vibe. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of we just want to write hardcore music, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine. So eventually, gave that up. I think we only played, three or four shows, if that. After Breakaway, I had been doing Breakaway for a third of my life. And so I was not in a band. And I was like... I even told myself, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stop doing bands now. And then I was like, 2 months after that, I was like, yo, I hate this. I hate feeling like I'm not performing or creating music. And I had done a Misfits cover set
in the...
At Strange Matter?
I did a Strange Matter, and I did one at the warehouse in, in October of 18. Oh, yeah, and someone was like, oh, you can sing. And I was like, oh, yeah, because when I was younger, I was in a punk band where I sang like that. And they were like, oh, you should do a band where you sing like that. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, should it sound like the Misfits? And they were like, I mean, maybe. But I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? That wouldn't be that palatable necessarily to the average hardcore kid. Yeah. And I was like, what bands are there that have vocals akin to this that are a little more like mosh, a little more dance oriented, a little like, you know, you're gonna hit a little bit harder? And I was like, well, Life of Agony, obviously.
Yeah.
Only Living Witness, and I'm a Sam Black Church fan. And I was like, okay. I was like, it's funny, it backs right up to the last Breakaway show. I saw a guy there that I had not seen at a show in years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm surprised to see you here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, dude, thank you so much for coming. And he was in this band called Holy Land. Mm-hmm. That was another guy in Breakaway was also in. And he's a really good songwriter. And I was talking to one of my friends about a new band I wanted to do, and she was like, oh, you should hit up Tyler. That's the guy I'm talking about to do this. And I was like, damn, you're right. And I was like, I didn't want to encounter the same problem I have with Neuromancer of being involved, of being in a band with people that are spread too thin. So I was like, okay, who isn't doing anything right? And I was like, who is free? My homie JD had just graduated college. And he's a personal trainer here, but like he has time on his hands, and he's a drummer. He was practically Breakaway's drummer by the end. He was always filling in for us. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna hit up my man JD and see if he wants to play drums for this. And then I was like, all right, who else is not doing anything? And I was like, well, I was like, and also I was like, who can play this kind of stuff? Because it's not straightforward. It's, you know, I was like, who can do this? I was like, okay, wait. My man Groder is in Brace War. Used to be in Fire and Ice, used to be in DTN. He can fucking write some shit. Yeah. And I was like, Brace War's not doing too much, and Fire and Ice isn't playing anymore. So I was like, shit. I was like, okay, maybe Groder. And then I hit up Tyler. I was like, hey, like, I know you haven't been around in a minute, but do you want to do a band like this? And I sent him the bands that I wanted to sound like. And he asked me some questions, and we talked about it a little bit. And then he was like, yeah. He was like, let's try it out. And then my best friend Eric, he lives in New York, but I just love being in a band with him. And I was in Breakaway with him forever, and he's just awesome. And Tyler came to the first practice and was like, I have two songs complete. I was like, oh, okay. And we did them, and we didn't change anything about them. And then he came to the next practice, and he's like, I have another song. I'm like, okay. And then that was it. That was a demo. And it's just been fluid and fun and cool and different. And I really like doing it. And I think potentially, like, I mean, it's new. Like, it only came out in summer, but it's going well.
You guys are planning on a physical release pretty soon?
Pre-orders are up.
Oh, they're already up.
Pre-orders are up through Vinyl Conflict for our demo 7-inch.
Hell yeah.
And that's selling better than I expected. So if you're listening to this and you want to get one, go to vinylconflict.com, pick one up. It's limited to 300, and we're not making any more after that. But we just recorded 6 songs for an EP the release on that should be sometime next year. I'm recording vocals for that on Monday. It's going good, and it's cool because it's the kind of band where we can play kind of any show.
Yeah, you can bridge out of like your typical,
like, we play a hardcore show, we can play a metal show, like we can play a rock show. It's and I want that because I just like to play. I just you know, I like love hardcore, but I want to play anything. So that's mad, and it's been fun.
Oh yeah, so going outside of hardcore, where do your kind of like interests go outside of hardcore?
Well, I'm a writer. I wrote one collection of short stories I released in 2017. I think the only place you can really buy it now is maybe Deathwish.com has one more copy. And there might be a copy. There might be, if you There's a bookstore in town, Chop Suey, in Richmond, that you might be able to get one at. But, yeah, otherwise, like, I'm into writing, and I wrote that collection in 17, and then I recently released a poetry collection that's at alltheways2breakmyheart.bigcartel.com, if you were interested in that. So I like writing. I'm not amazing at it, but I like doing it. I went to college for English and creative writing many years ago. It's like books. I think literature is important. I think storytelling is important. And I'm really into film. After this, I'm going to go see the movie Parasite. Love movies. I like analyzing film stories. Away from hardcore, I like going to the gym. I used to play rugby. And I'm trying to think, man, hardcore's just a big thing for me, which makes me feel like I do a lot of shit with hardcore. Mainly away from hardcore, it's movies, books, writing, and working out. Everything else I do is kind of rooted in hardcore in some way.
Coming up, you are promoting a few shows. What shows do you have coming up?
Got some shows. When's this come out?
Sunday. So like okay, 2 days. Cool. Sunday, so Mind Force is tomorrow.
Mind Force tomorrow. But we'll talk about it anyway. Got Mind Force, Nosebleed, Red Vision, Reaction, and Faded tomorrow. It's a matinee. And by the time this comes out, it'll have happened. But it's cool. Like, I'm just happy that lineup came together. Mind Force is awesome.
Yeah, great.
Nosebleed has been destroying.
They've been playing like so many.
They've been on so many shows, but people are still showing up. Mm-hmm. It's like they played a show last Friday, and there was a good amount of people there.
They played last night.
I was there. It was awesome. It was sold out. It was awesome. Like, good for them. They got a new record coming out in December. Mm-hmm. I've heard it. Just kick ass hardcore punk. It's awesome. It is definitely. It reminds me of some shit that I would have listened to in about 2009 that would have gotten me really fucking fired up. Mm-hmm. They're killing it. Red Vision's playing. Awesome. It's a good Edgewood band. Reaction from New York City. They rule. My homie, actually, everybody in that band is like a friend of mine. The bass player is also in Combust. The drummer's also in Trail of Lies and Regulate. And Connor, the guitarist, is in Akulu. He was an Illusion. He's in Illusion as well. And he is that. So it's a nice all-star lineup. Grant sings. And then Faded from Virginia Beach. You know, they've been wanting to play up here for a minute, so I'm glad they got on something. They only had a day slot for the show. But, hey, a matinee's cool. You know, it's a Saturday. Hopefully, when this airs, it will have gone down and been sick. Let's see. What else I got coming up? There's a lot of shows in Richmond all the time anyway, but like the stuff that I have. 1121.
Oh.
The guy, it's the big boy. Youth of the Day Judge, Downfall Enforced at the warehouse. There are like about 70 tickets left. Mind you, out of 400. At Vinyl Conflict, if you're listening to this and you don't have a ticket yet, go get one, because I'm kind of toying with the idea of not doing any tickets at the door, just so it's more manageable. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet. We're going to kind of figure that out. But if you had told me when I was like 16, mm-hmm. like, oh, you're going to book Judge
one day,
I would have been like, ha, yeah, right, okay. So I mean, like it—that's a big deal. But honestly, to be real, man, I'm more excited about Downfall and Enforced playing to that many people.
Honestly,
because like, dude, it's just like I local shit and stuff from Richmond is so important to me, and I love those bands. And Enforced is killing it right now.
They're on tour right now.
They're on tour right now with High Command. High Command is also awesome. I am so Oh yeah, you're only 19. You weren't at.
I can't see. I can't slide them any.
Hit me if it's my show. Hit me up. I'll get you.
In. I found myself in the Gasm one.
Oh okay,
yeah,
cool,
that was a great.
Cool.
That was a great show.
Yeah. Gasm was good too. Yeah. But dude, yeah, the Enforce show at Wonderland the other night. Awesome.
Yeah.
And they're killing it. Shout out to Knox. Shout out to all those guys. Yeah. That shit rules. That one's good. This isn't my show, but the next show Mad's playing in Richmond is December 3rd. It's Agnostic Front, Slapshot, MAD, yeah. Canal Club.
Great stuff.
Should be, awesome. Love. Those are two legends.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget that how big of a Slapshot fan I am until I see them, and I'm like, oh, I know all the words to these songs. But I never listen to them anymore. But, and then I've got, I got another one that I haven't really, announced yet because I'm still working on a venue, but, it's like, I'm not, a metalcore guy, but, a friend of mine hit me up to ask me to do this show, and I was like, you know what, it's my friend, let's try it out. I got Inclination, Reign of Salvation, and Vicious Embrace, then Spanish James Spiral in Southside. It's probably gonna be at this spot in Southside. I'm still working out the kinks on it. That's 11/27. So be on the look for that. And all these can be found at Richmond Hardcore Shows on Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you go to that, you can see all this stuff. And then the next one I have is
Integrity.
That's on the 2nd of January. It's Integrity, Fuming Mouth, Wild Side, One Step Closer, Choice to Make. Just stacked. And that's another. Integrity is one of my favorite bands. So that's just I'm excited to just, see them in a warehouse. That's at the warehouse. It's a warehouse setting. I've got tickets. So if you need them, you can either hit the up the rich. Actually, you can just hit up the Richmond page. Hit up the Richmond page because I run that, so I can get you a ticket. Got that. And then I haven't announced it yet, and I'm really only waiting on a flyer, so I don't mind talking about it here. But I got another show in February. I want to say it's February 11th, and that's Downfall, Hangman, Life's Question, and this new band Guardrails that I think is recording soon. Some younger cats. And then I got another one that I won't say the headliner for yet because still working on it, but I pretty much know who it's going to be. But Mad, MAD, Abuse of Power, DOM, and then an unnamed headliner on February 20th. February 20th. That's right, February 20th. Yeah, because that's going to... us and Abuse of Power and another band are going to be going on tour right after that. So, lots of shows. Lots of stuff coming up. And that here's the thing. These are the only ones that I'm involved in. Mm-hmm. There are so many that I... which is wonderful that we live in a place where there's people that are doing stuff that... it's not just on one person or two people. There's people like Patrick does shows. Bobby does shows. Mark Schubert does, gigs. Lindsay April does them sometimes too. You just got so many people doing stuff. It's cool. Oh, no, that's not mine. You got, I think Jesse Feynman's doing a show, a Nosebleed Be All End All show coming up. Crystal Palace. Yeah, it's just a lot.
You book for United Blood, right?
Yes. All right. So my United Blood thing is interesting. Sometimes people accredit it to me. Technically, I am on the United Blood team. I'm not one of the two main dudes, but I run all the social media stuff for it. I give a lot of suggestions. This is actually the first year that I've actually been talking to agents. Every other year, Braces and Foster will do everything, and I will just send them I think this would be a good idea, or that would be a good idea, or they send me information, and I just post it online, or just run the social media stuff for it. This is the most involved I've been. I'm involved with UB.
So with your physical media, let's get into that.
Yeah, sure. I brought some records. So I'm gonna save this one for last. This is
important. So this is formative stuff for me. First one I got here is a waste of time 7-inch, no shore. It's their second 7-inch on grade mistake, also based out of Richmond. Shout out to Alex D. This is a punk band that was here in the late aughts. I don't really know when they like broke up. But, and I said with air quotes, I don't think they never played like a last show. But yo, this is a punk band that I would leave like their sets and I would be just damaged because people were moshing hard for them like all the time. So really intense vibe, kind of like, if you've never listened to this band, like wait, they're kind of like Poison Idea, like, and it was like, it's like if you took Poison Idea and like somehow like made it meaner, and the production is like heavier in a way. Yeah, they ruled. Mark Schubert, the singer, he runs Beach Impediment now and like just does killer shows. Solid guy. Like, I'm looking at the back of this and just like looking at a picture of them on it. This 7-inch rules. The song Hostage is hard as fuck. The song And So It Goes, always like everybody was leaving bloody noses during that one. This is a good record. I got specifically the Judge New York Crew 7-inch. I have two Judge records here because Judge is very important to me. Damn it. I thought of another record that I should have brought, but I'll talk about it anyway. But this is actually I'm not even like, I like collect some records, but I'm very particular.
Yeah.
I'm very like, I don't get them all the time, but when I do get them, like, they're like an important record to me. Or I get all my friends' bands' records. When my friends release a record, I'm picking it up. But this is a second schism pressing of the Judge New York Crew 7-inch. Yeah, man, just like when I was a kid and I heard Fed Up and In My Way, and like I was into punk prior to hardcore, so like I knew about like Blitz or the Warriors cover. This is just fucking perfect, man. Like, it's just like so sick. So this is a big one for me. All right, got a story for you on this one. I bought this from Foster. This is the 10 Yard Fight demo 7-inch. Came out in 1995. When I was younger, I played football. I played football for 7 years, through like elementary school, middle school, and high school. Mm-hmm. I got into straight edge in high school and stuff, or like into the culture, and everything. And I found out about this band that was singing about football and straight edge, and I was like, well, this is my favorite.
It's like
band.
The most bad.
This is my favorite band now. So, the story is this though, is that I was like, oh, this is sick. You got like songs like First and Ten. I think the first song I heard of there's Pit of Equality. Yo, the song Drug Free Nation is hard as fuck. But I found the singer on MySpace, and I hit him up, and I was like, oh, dude, I'm such like a big fan. Like, y'all are so, I'm like 16. Like, y'all are so sick. Like, he was in a band called Stand and Fight at the time. And I was like, I'll book your band here, man. Like, you guys are so killer. And I was like, yo, like, what position did you play when you played football? I'm asking all this football stuff. And he gets back to me, and he's like, yo, thank you so much for hitting me up. I'm happy you like 10 Yard Fight so much. But I never played football. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, yeah, at the time, we were just trying to piss people off because, like, people in hardcore, like, hated jocks. So we'd, like, we would play, like, pickup games in the parking lot, but, like the football stuff was kind of like a fuck you to like people that were like kind of like anti, you know, like that and stuff. He's like, I like football, but I never played, and like my dreams were shattered. I was like, that's not what I thought. Okay, but but still, 10 Yard Fight kicks ass. I have this was gifted to me by my friend Hunter Moore for my most recent birthday. It's a Judgment 7-inch, Haunt in the Dark. This is not my favorite Judgment record. My favorite Judgment 7-inch is Process, but I don't own it. I really wish I did. But I'm on the hunt for it. But
This is just, like, in my opinion, it in regards to the Burning Spirit stuff and, like, Japanese D-beat, I think Judgment goes underappreciated. I feel like people are always talking about Deathside. People are always talking about Bastard. Amazing bands. But I think just some of the Judgment stuff is just so, like, menacing. And you know, look at this. Look how cool that motherfucker looks, dude. You got the sunglasses and shit. You see this guy on the front cross. There? Yo, dude. Yeah, he's got
the, he doesn't even want to be on the cover. He's like,
yo, man, I'm just chilling. I don't even want to be here, dude. Like, yo, this band rules. And also, the quality of this is really nice. Like, it's like,
I've never seen, like, a bifold seven inch.
This is really, it's, dude, the quality on that is really killer.
It's also cardboard,
too. Yeah, it's cardboard, too. This is a,
that's a legit press.
If you find the Haunt the Dark 7 inch, take note of the quality. And let's see what else I got here. One of the records I forgot to bring that I do have is, Carry On, the LP. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Lifeless Plague. I don't know why I forgot to bring it. But, that was another thing with Breakaway, that the second LP, started getting really into that a couple years ago, and was like, oh, I want to write, like, this is like Youth Crew Evolve to me. It's fast hardcore, but it's, like, kind of melodic, but still, like, hard. Like, you hear songs, like, Off My Chest, and that shit is hard. Like, you hear, like, Roll the Punches, it's fast, or, you know, it's killing it. Incredible guitar work by Todd Jones. The drummer on that was not Nick Jett, but the drummer from Go It Alone. Drum production rules. Like, he's hitting the rolls. It just, the whole thing sounds, the bass production's killer. The whole thing sounds good. I got here another Judge record. Got Bringing It Down. Just, like, you know, iconic Porcel on the front. So I listened to another podcast recently. What's funny, though, is that you look on the front, they all look like they could give a shit what he's... They're all looking at something else. Mm-hmm. All the people in the audience are looking like something's going on, like, over here. They're not even paying attention to him. But no, it's, you know, it's killer. I mean, like, Judge was such an influence on Breakaway. You know, we've, like, covered Take Me Away. Like, we, like, wrote things to kind of, like, be, like, to, like, have stuff that sounded like you. We had a song on the Cross My Heart LP that was supposed to be kind of like Where It Went. Yeah, man, it's just legendary stuff, you know. And it's just looking at back to these, like, iconic photos. Yo, when I was younger, finding pictures of Judge prior to the reunion and, like, the explosion of the internet and stuff was not easy. Finding a picture of what Mike Judge looked like when I was a kid was, like, hard to find online. So, yeah, man, just solid LP. I got, I have Count Me Out's Permanent. I have 110 as well, but I just brought Permanent because I think it's the better record. Jason Mazzola is the singer for this band, and it's just someone I aspire to be like when I'm his age. Just still coming around, still straight edge, but just, like, cool, just, like, you know, just like a great guy. He does cool art, and I'm glad that I got to be involved with the United Blood that they played, and more importantly, glad I got to be involved with the pre-show they played. Were you at that show? The pre-show, 2018?
I didn't get United Blood.
Oh, okay, I got you, dude. That was I think that might have been my favorite year.
The lineup's insane. The 18 all the videos was, out.
The 18 one was so
good. The Trail of Lies album cover was shot at that one, right?
The album cover.
The drum.
Oh, no, yeah, no, yes. At that, United Blood. That was at 18. Yeah. That was at 18. Yeah. Dude, so that's like me. My first UB was 2010. But 9 was like the year. With, like, the Cro-Mag set, like, like the first one back, and I wasn't there. All people always talk about how, like, that was, like, the one, and I missed it, and, like, so that happens. But we got good work coming on, the one coming up, so it's about, like, a little over halfway booked. But yeah, anyways, yeah, this Count Me Out record rules.
fuck yeah. I mean, I'm just like, this one's cool. The first one's good too, and the 7-inch is good. But this one, I feel like they were definitely living in a post-AN world, mm-hmm. you can tell. So they were definitely doing some American Nightmare type stuff on here.
Yeah, as many.
I feel like AN came out of this time period, and everybody's like,
yeah, American Nightmare.
Fuck, I need to change up everything I'm doing. And I'll talk about one more record, and then I'm going to get to the special thing here. I have a tape I keep in a Gucci box. I brought that. The Government Warning No Moderation LP. So that when that came out, I was more into punk hardcore before I got into kind of like more like hardcore the Capital H.
Yeah.
I was listening to stuff like that, but I like scene wise, I was like the No Way Records, the Grave Mistake Records type stuff going mm-hmm. on. And Government Warning could do no wrong in 09 and 10 and 11, dude. And it's just like they would play and it'd just be pandemonium. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I saw them was at this place called The Rocks. It was outside, whack venue. Somebody, like, I'm, like, up front. Somebody stage dives and busts my nose, like, almost immediately. And, like, it was sick, dude. It was, like, fucking killer. And I remember going up to... in retrospect, I remember going up to Alex Z, their bass player. And my face is just covered in blood. And I didn't wipe it away because I was just, like, so, I don't know. I'm weird. And I was like, dude, you guys are so sick. Whatever. So some bloody large man is going up to him after the set being like, what do you guys got going on? Like, you know? But yeah, fuck yeah. They were like, God, they're just full. And I would kill to see them again. But yeah, that LP is really important to me. All right, last thing I got here. And the story about this is crazy. And I want to say his name's Jim Rice. The dude who got this for me wanted something like that meant nothing to me. Mm. But he was such a big Breakaway fan. He was like, if you will trade me a Breakaway test press from the first 7-inch, I will trade you this item. And I was like, you're insane. But yeah, sure, dude, go off. So this is my favorite band. This is the Floor Punch demo tape.
Oh.
And you can see it's not on like, it's like on like somebody like did this in their fucking house. Like,
I think I have one of those here though. Like, I already know how it sounds, dude, when you record.
Yeah,
it.
Like, yeah, this is like a TDK like demo tape. Like you get it at like a CVS or something. Yeah, first Floor Punch release. Just, you know, you got, let's just open this bad boy up here real quick. Because it came with Hardware Fanzine as well, which I actually went to a Floor Punch show recently and they were doing a compilation zine of like all of those. But man, let's just go over these tracks here. What do you start out with? You start out with the intro, which is one of the best intros written in hardcore. Always goes off. What do you go right into? You go into fucking Changes, and that shit rules. Oh, dude, what's crazy is that on the demo, the song isn't called Clear. It's called Keep It Clear. But yeah, you got Clear on here, My Path. You know, you get the quick track. Tolerate, Persevere. This is... Floor Punch is the pinnacle for me, which is kind of crazy because it's like... they were also a gigantic influence on Breakaway. I mean, essentially, I wrote Breakaway because I was like, well, I just want to be Floor Punch. I want to be a straight-edge hardcore band that doesn't sound, like, weak. Like, I want to play, like, traditional youth crew hardcore, but I want it to be, like, hard. Mm-hmm. I want it to be tough.
Like the 90s, like, kind of, like, going to metal.
Like, not, like... Like, I didn't want to do anything metal. I didn't want to do anything metalcore. I didn't want to do anything metal. I wanted to play, like, with Breakaway, I wanted to play hardcore music. Like, Mad is my, like, step into, like, alt metal and stuff like that. I wanted it to sound tough. Like, in my eyes, I've grown to appreciate one of the records in my adult life. But at the time, I was like, this is too soft for me, dude. Like, I'm listening to, at that time, I'm listening to, like, Down to Nothing, and like, which is also a big influence on Breakaway. But like, I'm listening to like DTN, like,
you know, and stuff like that. And like, I'm like, oh, this is like straight edge, but this is like hard music, you know, and like Floor Punch is like fast and tough and unrelenting, and that's what I wanted to hear. And like, I don't know, that this demo, I wish I could say this is like my favorite like LP of all time, but I can't because it's a demo. So, but yeah, that's like just some picks that I got here. I can't believe I forgot some stuff at home, but yeah, you know, these are some of my favorites. For sure. Just some classics. Oh, yeah. You know?
Before shout-outs, you have a podcast,
Form I do. Of Passion. Form of Passion.
Yeah.
See, what's cool about podcasts in hardcore right now...
There's a few. There's many.
There's been a boom. And what's cool is that a dude on 185 Miles South, this dude, Zach Nelson, who I've never met, he was in Control, who is fucking incredible. Yeah. And he was in Retaliate, which is also badass. He said, he goes, podcasts are the new zine. Mm. And I was like, yo.
That's pretty fair.
That is actually kind of how I look at him now. Or it's like, you're getting, because you got, you know, Axe to Grind, which really like started like hardcore podcasting as like a bigger thing. And there's others before, but they weren't mainlined. Mm. They were turned out of punk, the dude from Fucked Up. Like, he would be kind of interviewing like everybody. Lead Singer Syndrome, like, had like people like Ben Cook on, but it wasn't all. Definitely, it's a guy from Silverstein doing that one. It's definitely not about hardcore. But yeah, like, so I started a podcast this year called Form of Passion. You can find that just on Apple Podcasts. I listened to a. Well, how that started was basically in post-breakaway, I had this, like, idle hands with the devil's plaything type thing. Like, where I was like, what am I doing with my... Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm booking shows, but that's... You can only do so much to occupy your time with that. Mm-hmm. And so around the time period, I had the same idea for Mad. I was like, I want to continue to give back to hardcore or, like, be involved. How do I do it? I do a podcast. Mm-hmm. I modeled it after a movie podcast I like. My favorite writer is Bret Easton Ellis, and he does a podcast about films and the film industry. It's just called the Bret Easton Ellis Podcast. You can find it on Patreon. You can find it on Apple Podcasts too, but mainly Patreon stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to model it just like his, where he's interviewing people from films in the film industry, and he would do a monologue in the beginning. His is usually very long. Mine's not. And then he would interview them. And growing up, I thought, and I still think, and I see less of it now, but I try to catalog it, obviously. Something that was cool about hardcore is how there are characters. Mm-hmm. There's the stigmas of the world, the Henry Rollins of the world, the Glenn Danzigs of the world, like the Kev Ones, you know, the Pig Champions, like, yeah, like people named Human Furnace. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these characters, and we talked about literature earlier. Mm-hmm. I love stories and characters, so I was like, I want to catalog the characters of modern hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, you've had Lee on here before. Mm-hmm. Lee is cool. He would probably not view himself as such, but Lee is a character. He's not making himself that way, but he's this vampiric, like intellectual. He's gaunt, like, you know, like, he like looks and dresses a particular way. He's mysterious, like, you know, that's character. Like, that is fucking cool. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, so I wanted to do that. So, yeah, Form of Passion, look it up. We probably had about, I think, our 13th episode dropped today. It's been going good. And we do a Patreon, too. So you can find that at patreon.com/Form of Passion. Kind of, you know, the tie gets a little loosened on those. And those aren't interview-based. Those are more just discussion. But, yeah, I do that.
Okay. Finally, so heading out, any bands you want to shout out?
Creators, sure.
People,
man.
People that just work in this.
God, there's so much shit. Let me see where to start. Well, I'll start out with bands doing good work here right now. Shout out Division of Mind. Mm-hmm. LP is coming out in December. It destroys. One of the best side A's I've heard in years. It's.
intellectual beatdown. Like it's some shit. It's giving me a good record. Nosebleed's killing it. We talked about earlier. I love Downfall. Like young kids just getting it. You know, like just playing straightforward hardcore. And right now it's like you don't see it all the time. You see people wanting to do punk. You see people wanting to do metal. You see people wanting to do beatdown. Downfall just wants to play hardcore, and I like that. Let's see. You got Enforced, killer crossover, just like ripping it up. You got, you know, like Red Vision playing some like kind of like crossover stuff too. New York hardcore influence. Man, like. Those are the ones that come off like I don't even need to talk about old stuff. That's like still technically around. Like that's like pay attention to that. That's the new shit, you know. That's the shit killing it. You know, I wanna shout out my man Patrick, does 11 PM Records. Right. He's, you know, been in some bands. He books like punk shows here. He's killer. I wanna shout out my man Craig and Scott. They do Edgewood. It does just quality, just hardcore music on their label. You know, they've been putting out records for like a few years and have really taken off in the last couple. Yeah, like those guys. Shout out my man Sam, who does Forum with me, so I want to appreciate him. Sam records at Studio F12. Mm-hmm. Records a lot of bands. He posted up like, God, like what is Sam recorded? Candy 7-inch, Trail Eyes LP, one of the Breakaway LPs. He was in Breakaway too. Downfall LP. God, he has all these 7-inches on his ceiling in there too. He's like done so many. Like, dude kills it. Great. He's doing the new Mad EP. Did the Mad demo. Man, shout out to you for doing this. Let's see. God, I don't want to miss anybody. I mean, there's so I could literally just start. There's people that own so many businesses here that, like, you know, like the High Points of the world and the Ateliers and like my friends that I've met through hardcore, like, they've inspired me to do things. So my friends that have opened businesses and inspired me to like do more with my, you know, like I feel like the acumen of that comes from being involved in DIY music, where you're like, I'm gonna create. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's not like a pre-existing kind of space for it.
No, like, and, so, you. And so you're like, I'm gonna like, I like, you know, like when I, like I talked about earlier, when I was younger and nobody booked my band, I started booking shows. That's how I got into booking shows, because I just wanted to play. Mm-hmm. You know, these people that my friends that like start businesses and do things, like they're like, you know, I want to do this, you know, because like there's something missing that I, you know, needs to be created. I observed that I think that may have come from the particular world that I met them in. Yeah, you know, I guess, like, all my friends are on tattoo shops, Black Rabbit, like, Absolute, my homie Ian's there, like, I don't know, it's just like, it's a vibrant city full of culture and art and...
There's a lot going on.
A lot of, like if you're into alternative music... Like,
there's a lot. There's a fuck.
There's a lot. Like, for a city of 200,000 people, yeah. There's a fuck ton. It's crazy. Yeah, I guess I love shouting people out. So I could sit here all night and just be like, yo, shout out this guy, shout out this girl, shout out this person. But no, I'll leave it at that.